So the good thing is I cracked a rib, so you don't have to listen to any Sven and Ole jokes, because I can't laugh at any of my own jokes. So, with that, we'll get started. And I have to tell you that we're going to try and keep on time, so I'm going to talk a little bit fast. So hopefully you can keep up with me, because, you know, I had a professor who talked like this when I was at the University of Georgia. And one of my friends at the University of Georgia, he said, you know, John, I can't listen that fast. So I hope that you guys are awake and you can listen fairly fast this morning, because we're gonna go through this fairly rapidly. There's going to be a lot of data slides, but we're not going to spend a lot of time on the individual data, and we're going to focus on the main concepts. So first thing they wanted me to talk about is how are sperms separated? And as you guys, most of you know, the X chromosome is much larger than the Y chromosome. It carries about 3.8% more DNA than the Y chromosome. So that gives us an opportunity to differentiate between these two chromosomes in the sperm, and sperm carry either an X or a Y chromosome. And so in the 1980s, the USDA developed technology using flow cytometry to sort semen or sperm into different sexes. They leased that technology or licensed that technology to XY and Company there in the late 90s. And then subsequently that has become Sexing Technologies that has the rights to do that, and we'll talk about Sexing Technologies. So pretty typical with AI, with getting semen from bulls. The bulls are collected, that semen is evaluated, there's some extension that goes on. The big thing that happens that differentiates it from normal processing is it's stained with a dye that dyes the DNA. And then they're incubated for a time period, and then they go on the machine. And this little cartoon shows you how the sperm are separated. They go into this crystal, breaks the stream of semen into individual droplets. They're then sorted into X and Y bearing sperm based on the amount of dye that's in that sperm. That charge is then given to each one of those droplets. Based on that charge, then it separates it into the either X or Y, or it doesn't separate it into anything at all. And then as they pass those plates, finally any of the sperm that are not oriented correctly are damaged, or the machine cannot determine what they are, go into the waste stream. So it's a type of situation where we get about a quarter of the collection ends up as X, a quarter of the collection ends up at Y, and the other half is waste. So there's quite a bit of loss of genetic material when this happens. That they're sorted about 35,000 sperm per second, maybe a little higher these days. Approximately 12,000 sperm are sorted per second, are sorted, and they're either X or Y. And then whether we're using a 90% or a 75% sex rate that we want, or accuracy rate that we want, also determines how many of those sperm can actually be sorted per second and what our yield is. Because at the 90% purity rate of the desired sex, then we're going to get less yield than we do at the 75 in terms of the number of units that come off that machine. After sorting, then that collection has to be reconcentrated through centrifugation. They're packaged into quarter mil straws, and there's only about 1.2 million cells per straw. They're then frozen and stored in liquid nitrogen. We'll talk about this small numbers. One of the nice things about giving this talk is I get to do a little bit of review of yesterday for you at the same time. How did we get interested in gender-selected or sex semen? The ranch at the Nancy Cummings Center, the herd was initially a combination of donated cows and cows that came from the commercial Charlet herd up at the Moscow station. They were kind of a fruit salad, a lot of diversity in that herd, and we were trying to get a more uniform herd. At the same time, since it's a research herd, there's a lot of people that want to breed that herd to whatever they need to breed for their particular situation or their particular research. So we wanted to try and kind of get a more uniform situation with our heifers and be able to have a herd that had a constant cow base regardless of what else we needed to breed the herd to. And so what we've been striving for is our Hereford Angus cross cow herd, whether they be red baldies or black baldies, with a little bit of kind of more straight Angus type in there as well as our base cow herd. So we decided to use gender-selected semen to do that, and we'll talk about some of that work. The other thing I'm going to talk about today is sometimes you'll look at these results and you'll probably be fairly disappointed, but remember that only about 25, 30 years ago, we got all excited because we had a 35 to 40% fixed-timed AI pregnancy rate with conventional semen. And through technological developments, a lot of things that we talked about here, we're up to about 55 or 65% now with fixed-timed AI. So what I'm telling you is there's still a lot of research that we need to do with sex semen. The things may be disappointing now, but if we had stopped using estrous synchronization tools 25 years ago, we wouldn't be where we are. So I think there's still an opportunity to use sex semen. Sexing Technologies is the company that provides all the sexing services for all the major AI studs. In 2007, there were no beef bulls that were sorted, and now in 2014, we have about 70 beef bulls that are sorted that are in the major studs, and then Sexing Technologies offers another 47 bulls. Most of those are Brahma cross type or Brahman cattle. The point here is it's a good thing that we've got some bulls now that we're able to use that are sex semen. On the other hand, compared to the amount of bulls that are in the major studs, that's not a very big offering for us to look from. So it does limit our choices. Gender-selected semen has been used in the dairy industry for a number of years, with the success rate running about 50% in heifers, about 29% in cows, and we know the lactating dairy cow is always really fun to get pregnant. So let's talk a little bit about sex semen in beef cows and kind of what some of the results are, the factors that affect it, and then we'll talk very quickly at the end about some ways we might utilize it. So pretty typical with beef heifers, a lot like in the dairy heifer, what we see is about a 15 to 20% decrease in pregnancy rates from conventional, when we compare sex semen to conventional semen. And as Dr. Dalton talked about yesterday, a lot of these are non-compensable traits. There's been a lot of work looking at, instead of 2 million cells per straw, what if we put in 5 million or 10 million? And we don't get an appreciable increase in pregnancy rates because of that. And if you remember, those non-compensable traits are probably due to the damage that sperm incurs during the sorting process that we cannot see under the microscope. It's DNA damage, it's maybe molecular damage, and so no matter how much more sexed sperm we would put in a straw, we're not going to see huge increases in pregnancy rates. And so that's where we are in terms of we're going to have to accept, at least at this point, about a 15 to 20% decrease in pregnancy rates in heifers. Beef cows, generally when it first came out, nobody said, they said we don't really advise to use in beef cows. We were stubborn, so we went ahead and used it in beef cows. Not to belabor a lot of this research, except to tell you that at the end of our three-year period, we had a significant number of cows, and we were running about a 50, 52% AI, fixed-timed AI pregnancy rate to sex semen. We got all excited. Part of that is we just got lucky with some of the bulls that we picked and gave us those kind of results. The other thing is, this is really the 1 year that we compared actually the same bulls in conventional to sex semen, and you can see about that 20% decrease. This was some other years where some of the conventional semen was different bulls because of a different project we had going on, and kind of put a plug in for Dr. Stroud, who's coming up. Some of this semen was not CSS, so it wasn't certified semen service package type semen, hadn't gone through that quality, and we had some fertility problems with those, and Dr. Stroud will probably talk about that. So another study that came out of the Southeast showed a pretty marked decrease in pregnancy rates for cows. But a bottom line is, for both cows and beef heifers, the results are similar, but we're going to have to accept about, at this point in time, about a 15 to 20% decrease in pregnancy rates. So let's look at some of the factors that affecting sex with success with sex semen. Based on yesterday, what would you think one of the big factors would be? Cows that are what? Express estrus, right? In heat. So what we see is, you would expect, we see a decrease, of course, between the conventional and the sex semen, but we see that those cows that are in heat do much better than the cows that were not in heat. This happened to be one of those bulls, like Dr. Patterson talked about yesterday, that doesn't do too bad in those cows that aren't in heat. In contrast, he had talked about the work from Jordan Thomas, where they looked at bulls that had, they compared the conventional to the sex, and those non-responders, this bull is obviously not the greatest bull for non-responders, even in conventional. He did terrible when he was sex, but then when they did the delay of 20 hours that Dr. Patterson talked about, then they got an increase. So again, it goes back to the timing of insemination relative to the onset of ovulation that Dr. Dalton had talked about yesterday as being extremely important in sex semen, and that sex semen is more sensitive to this timing. Similar work was done by Dr. Funston's group, and you'll hear from Dr. Funston later. They were looking at heifers that were estrus detected and then bred following estrus with the idea of trying to get those heifers bred between 18 and 24 hours post-estrus. Didn't see a lot of difference between conventional and sex semen. Maybe a little bit of a decrease here because some of those heifers were closer to 12 hours than 18 getting bred. But again, when we mass mate or when we breed those non-responders with sex semen, we see very poor results. And again, that's a result of having those animals with a sperm or semen quality that doesn't stay with a great longevity within the female reproductive tract for a long period of time. We looked at, well, what if we delayed insemination in a fixed time AI so that we put that semen into the cow closer to our expected time of ovulation? Would that improve? With almost 800 cows, we saw that we did not do very well. We didn't improve anything by delaying. We were not very pleased with these pregnancy rates, but they're real. And part of the reason for those pregnancy rates is followed in this slide, is we see some bull-to-bull variation. Now, these are not large numbers, and so we can't make fertility judgments on these individual bulls. So we can't say, was it a function of that bull? Was it a function of the sort? Was it a function of the way that semen got handled while it was packaged? We don't know. But the reality is, when we use sex semen, we see kind of some of these all-over-the-board pregnancy rates that seem to be related to the bull, whether it's collection related or damage that goes on to that bull. And so this bull here that gave us a whopping 13%, you know, didn't do a lot for our average in those studies. So that's another thing that you need to bear in mind, is that you need to find out some information on those bulls, because again, we can't look under the microscope and say, hey, this bull sorted, it looks like everything's okay, and then it turns out that he's not okay because of the damage that we can't see under the microscope. So breeding after estrus is best. Fixed-time AI is feasible. And the other thing I want to tell you is, if you don't already have a really good AI program with conventional semen, you do not need to even think about sex semen. And whether that's at your ranch or your customers' ranches, you need to make sure that that's the case. That 10 to 20% decrease, that greater variability in success because of the things that we can't see in that sperm, similar fertility with cows and heifers, and calves perform the same. So what are some things, ways we can use sex semen in the beef industry? Well, one of the first things they always told us was, don't use it for ET work. Well, as it turns out, if we run about 3 to 4 straws into a cow that has had been super ovulated, what we see is about, and this is a little hard to see on this one, a 20 to 35% reduction in the transferable embryos. Now, that's kind of a major reduction in the number of transferable embryos, but if you're looking at a cow-bull mating where the female offspring from that cow mating are virtually worthless to you, now you haven't tied up extra donor or recipient cows and the expense of gestating those fetuses in order to find out you have the wrong sex on the other end. So if we can, maybe we reduce the number of transferable embryos, but they're all, or 90% of them are the sex that we want, then we've decreased our costs that are associated with the recipient cows. So IVF is another way that it can be used, and that's because we only need about 1,500 good sperm to fertilize an oocyte in vitro. And so these are some work that's been done. Again, some of the rates are reduced for IVF compared to if we use conventional semen, but we have good pregnancy rates with these in vitro fertilized that have been fertilized by sex semen. Another thing that's been coming out is that we can take semen that's been frozen conventionally from a bull that's long since dead, and companies like Transova have sorting systems where they'll run that semen through the sexing technique. The sorting machine, and be able to sort that and then use that for IVF. So we can now sex bulls that are no longer available for us in the gene pool if you want to go that way and you want to spend the money for IVF. So what are some of the things that we can do as far as actually AI and using sex semen? So what we have been working on, primarily the way, thing we started with, was to develop maternal lines for use with terminal sires. So in the beef industry, one of the problems that we've gotten into compared to the other competing meats is we don't really have maternal lines versus terminal lines. I mean, we do have terminal bulls, we do have maternal bulls, but we tend not to think in the way the pork industry thinks of maternal line sows and terminal line boars. And so I think this has given us somewhat of a competitive disadvantage. And so here's an opportunity where we take a subset of elite cows, and this is what we do at the Nancy Cummings Center. We do a one-time fixed-time AI with exsorted semen, and we get about 66 to 75% female offspring out of this subset of elite cows. And we're working on improving our way to select those cows. If we would go in a situation where maybe we did three times of AI with exsorted, we might even be able to bring that up to 85 to 88% females out of that group of cows. So what does that mean? Well, in a 300-cow herd like we have, in a 15% replacement rate and about a 90% weaning rate, we would need 45 replacement heifers to bring us back every year to our 300 cows. And so we would need to breed 100 cows to maternal bulls. Well, what do we get when we breed 100 cows to maternal bulls with conventional semen? We get 45 heifers that we need, and we got 45 steers we're not very proud of. Okay? And so that takes up a fair amount of the herd. It takes up a third of the herd to do that. In contrast, with our system that we use now, we only have about 25% of the herd that generates the heifers that we need and gives us about 22 steers that don't excel in the marketplace. If we went to the extreme, we could reduce that down to 20% of the herd. So this is some data that we've done over several years that shows you over a number of years, we kind of average in this system with a single fixed-time AI to sex semen followed by cleanup bulls, we're running about 65 to 68% females in that subgroup of cows that we've selected to be our female generating dams. So we've got some increase in value of the progeny because we've used some terminal sires on the rest of the cow herd. We've increased selection pressure because we are using a smaller amount of the herd to select for our future females, and hopefully they fit our environment better, and then we may need to retain ownership to capture full value. And we're able to do that at the university, and we're getting carcass data, and all these cattle are going through that. The other system that we have just started work on is the heifer-heifer system. That's where we're trying to use DNA markers along with some EPDs that the Simmental Association is helping us generate on our commercial cows to select heifers that we think should be the next dams of heifers. And so kind of reducing that generation interval and being able to select those ones at an early age. The other advantage is by having heifers have heifers, we get some reduced dystocia. We decrease that generation interval. And of course, since we breed our replacement heifers ahead of the cow herd, now our next generation of replacement heifers are older at the start of the breeding season. And so they should fall in more readily and be able, maybe as Dr. Funston will talk about later, not have to push them quite so hard to develop. The last thing that we've been working on is shifting the gender ratios and trying to look at, would it be an advantage for a commercial cow herd to breed a majority of the cows to Y carrying sperm so that they get more steers? And would that be enough of a market advantage to justify using sex semen? And so the other thing you can do by shifting gender ratios is if you're a commercial seed stock producer and you're producing commercial bulls, of course you'd want to use more Y sorted. If you're somebody generating replacement heifers, you want to get X sorted to get more heifers, but you also might want to breed those X sorted heifers to X bearing semen, so you kind of have a 2-in-1 package for your customers. And then let's talk about this commercial application of a marketing advantage if we breed to get more Y sorted. So this is work that we've done at the research station. We've bred over about 2 or 3 years. We've bred 488 cows to Y-sorted semen. We produced 431 calves. Out of those 431 calves, 278 of them, or about almost 65% are male. Our calving rate is a little less than we'd like, but there's a variety of things going on in our herd that's reducing that calving rate. But the important thing is, with a single fixed-time AI to Y-sorted semen, followed by cleanup bulls, we're getting about a 65% male gender ratio. Is that going to be enough for it to be worthwhile? And Gen X and some of the other companies have some products that you can use online to estimate what the value of using sex semen is to your operation, and I encourage you to use that. But probably the greatest value is in some of our smaller herds that can't sell tractor-trailer load lots of single-sex calves, that they might have a marketing advantage if they could do that. And here's an example from a ranch that's right there in the valley where we are. This particular rancher, this is last year's prices. I know they look pitiful compared to this year, guys, but those are pretty exciting prices last year. He had 55 steers on the load. He had 35 steers. This was actually a sale that went through Superior Livestock. His steers weighed 580. His heifers weighed 520. And so he got a $10 discount on the heifers. In addition, if we looked at what his neighbors did that sold full loads of steers, they got a $3 bump. So they even discounted his steers because they were in a mixed load, not just discounted his heifers. So when we look at that, that was the total value of that load. If we would have made that whole load steers instead of heifers, he would have grossed another $5,000. If he had gotten a bump for that premium for having all steers, he would have made almost another $7,000. On the increased semen cost, it would be about $2,000 to $3,000. So we'd be bringing him another almost $4,000 back to the ranch by being able to have that marketing advantage. Now, the key would be he would also already have to be doing AI and be good at it, and because these costs don't cover the synchronization costs. This cost down here is simply the increase in semen costs from being sex semen versus conventional semen. And the other thing is he's probably going to give up a little bit of weaning weight because some of these calves are going to be born later because of the pregnancy rates that we have to sex semen. So some of those things, there is some potential there, but really what we need to do is get things to be a little better for us. So right now, we see that those fixed-time pregnancy rates with gender-selected semen are 35 to 50%. So we're getting there. A single AI to sex semen, we can successfully shift gender ratios sufficiently that we see a benefit from it depending on which avenue we want to go. And certainly it looks like to generate replacement females for your operation, that may be a very viable use of sex semen at this point. Depending on those ratios, we'd really like to see it up to about a 70-30, and so in order to do that, we're going to have some improvement in some of the things that go along with sex semen so that we have higher pregnancy rates to sex semen on a reliable basis. So some things, you know, change is sometimes inescapable, and this future, I think the sex semen is here. I think it's a good tool that we have. I think used judiciously in our industry, it can be of benefit. We'll have applications that continue to develop, but we'll need to have to figure out how we can decrease the sorting damage, whether we need to change our synchronization systems like the stuff Jordan was doing with the split time systems, and a way to select bulls, to identify those bulls that, well, after they come through the sort, are bulls that are going to really do a good job for us in terms of getting cows settled. And then I think it's time it's come, but you really need to understand those risks and limitations. And so whether you're a rancher or you're working with ranchers, make sure that those people understand our risks and limitations with sex semen so we don't oversell the technology, but it's good technology. And with that, I'd like to thank a variety of groups that have helped us with this research and helped us with the program in the past. Always an honor to be here. It's good to be at Oklahoma State. I've been here before. I've been around long enough. I remember when Lauman was a young faculty member, when Glenn Self was fairly young, but I'm still not old enough that I can remember Bob Wedeman when he had hair. Okay. But with that, I appreciate the opportunity to be here. Thank you very much.